Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
We're going to fix it. It is going to be a top priority as we go into the Super Bowl in Mardi Gras. And the solution that we're going to come up with is going to be a permanent one. It's going to be placed into the standard operating procedure of having major events and securing that quarter.
We are going to get these people. There is a path forward. Very pleased that we will be back to having a wonderful game tomorrow night. New Orleans police have proven their ability to make the city safer.
Yeah, I told you that was Jeff Landry, the governor of Louisiana, and Ann Kirkpatrick, the New Orleans police superintendent. Yeah, by now you know what happened in New Orleans. It's unfortunate. It's not that unusual anymore to see this. Shamsuddin Jabbar was the killer.
I thought you were getting ready to do the Saturday Night Live bit for a second, but sorry. I'm not trying to make light of this, but as soon as you started doing that, Robert De Niro. Anyway, go ahead.
I just eat my drawers.
Yes. Sorry.
Grab her boobie.
Because the only reason you and I do this all the time off the air with that clip. Sorry. Go ahead. Finish your point. I'm sorry.
Anyway. At least 15 people were killed. This guy was allegedly intent on killing people, and he did it, as you saw, sadly. And just, this is not the first time we've seen this, and it's a Texas-born Army veteran of this country. He had all kinds of stuff. He had this truck, and there were IEDs in the French Quarter. If you've been to Bourbon Street, you know what it's like down there. It's just a fun place with a lot of just everybody walking around, and it's just a party in the street constantly. But he had an ISIS flag and kills at least 15 people and just 30 in this attack. And is killed by the police. But they don't believe he acted alone. And they said there is a formula. I forget what the actual number is. But for every terrorist that, attacks and launches an attack, there are many, many more people behind them as far as providing safe houses and financing and weapons and all kinds of things that support these folks who carry out these horrible attacks on our soil. He's just another one. And they're looking for accomplices. So they think there's multiple people involved in the attack. And that's why they're so cautious right now. The Sugar Bowl was postponed. The Super Bowl is still considering because it's supposed to be, this year at the Superdome. Next month, a little more than a month away. It's early this year. It's February 9th. So they're talking about that. But what gets me is people like, one guy decides to light his shoes on fire. We take our shoes off now at the airport. I mean, we react to so much stuff. And my theory has always been, my philosophy has been, it doesn't matter if it's bombs or bullets or biological. It's people. It's freaking people. That's what you have to concentrate on. You can't prevent people from renting trucks or stealing trucks or owning trucks because this is not the first time this happened. This happened in New York City on West Street. Same thing, Army veteran, ran over a bunch of people. And what gets me is I'm not saying you can prevent them all, but I've experienced enough where they just absolutely positively dropped the ball. And again, I'm not criticizing this case. I have no knowledge of what happened, what kind of red flags they may have had, what kind of intelligence they have, because there's always chatter. If you're in the business, you know what I'm talking about. There is always chatter of terrorist attacks. It never ends. It's every day that we have information from somewhere that there's going to be an attack. Sometimes it's nonsense. And I've experienced that where the problem is somebody.
But you have to treat everyone the same, though.
Of course
right?
You do. Yeah. I get ridiculed by the FBI on a conference call because I just wanted. We had information. there's going to be, remember when anthrax was big?
Mm-hmm.
Right after 9/11, there's going to be an anthrax attack in Baltimore at 1 o'clock in the afternoon or whatever date it was. And they wouldn't tell me. I end up confronting them. I call. I said, hey, I need this information. I said, you're telling me it's code orange. Do I look up? Do I look down? What's the threat? Like, what am I supposed to do? So they give me that information. And then they ridicule me in the conference call, among other police chiefs who all got back to me. He said, that idiot basically didn't care. He just wanted to give him this, and you know he was happy. Yeah, that's all I need. I don't care if you overheard it in a coffee shop in Paris or you tortured somebody that had nuts on fire in Egypt. I don't care. It doesn't matter. The information was specific. There was a time. We were the only city involved. I asked all these questions. How many cities are threatened? Just Baltimore. The time specific. Okay. So I held a press conference, told people to remain calm. We just had the drill. It came, 1 o'clock came and went, never happened. However, I've had others, and you know the case I'm talking about. Like, I've experienced this, and it's not the only time it's happened. It's from my case in 1990, when I have a murder of a Jewish leader in New York City by an Egyptian-born American citizen. He was born in Egypt, married an American woman, as a citizen, laid low, and he kills him. Then runs out in the street with a gun in hand, jumps in the wrong taxi, jumps out, gets in a gunfight with police. Both wounded, both live. I have a prisoner now. Send people to his house in New Jersey. Who's there? Two other Egyptians who were cab drivers. And maybe being at the scene at the time, he jumped in the wrong cab. It was his getaway car. It was a plan. We locked them up for murder as well. Do a search warrant, come up with all kinds of documents, but most of them in Arabic, couldn't read them, but there were pictures. I knew it was bomb-making manuals and things like that. Tons of stuff we couldn't read, but I briefed the chief of detectives. I'm a young lieutenant of detectives. I'm like, I don't know what I have. This is a big deal. I have three people under arrest for murder. This is not a lone gunman. This is a big deal. I was told to shut up, literally shut up. You handle murders. They handle conspiracies. Gives it to the FBI, Joint Terrorism Task Force. They're like, we have no reason to believe it's other than a lone gunman. Lied right in his face. They already knew who these people were. They had been following them. Because when we got to the gun range where they were training, the guy said, why are you guys here? The FBI was here 2 weeks ago. They had known who these guys were. They had fought the Red Army in Afghanistan. They were Mujahideen. They were... This just makes me mad all over again. They just lied and lied and lied. And then Trade Center gets bombed February 93. You know who did it? The cab drivers I was forced to release. They said we didn't have probable cause to halt. Yeah, they rented the van, put it in the Trade Center, put it in the wrong spot, didn't take the buildings down, but did kill six people and wound 1,000. So, yeah. Oh, and you know what happened during that trial? Oh, they never translated the documents that we had given them. Midway through the trial, they translate them. It says Al-Qaeda. And now the document translation is hanging on the wall at the 9/11 Memorial Museum. If you leave, it's at the end. It says this was not the first case, my case they're talking about. This was the first one, and it has take down the buildings of wealth and power, of which Americans are so proud. We had the plot for 9/11 in 1990, and no one listened. That's why I get so angry about this stuff. I don't know what they had on this guy, but there seem to be always red flags. We have a really, really effective intelligence apparatus. They gather a lot of information. I just don't know what was acted upon and not. But this is why, and I know people want to hear this, I don't give a rat's ass. This is why you've got to close your borders. You've got to be really vigilant every day. This is not a joke. This is not about keeping poor people from Guatemala and Mexico from finding a better life. It's from putting dangerous people in your country because you have a porous border when no one is stopped or they're stopped and released. You don't know who these people are. And they're coming here to do us harm. And it just makes me really angry that we don't do a better job at who. It's not the trucks. It's not the bullets. It's not the bombs. It's the people. You got to figure out who's doing this and wipe them the F out.
You missed an epic chance there of going, now you're making me very upset at the end of that. But no, like, look, I mean, who knows it better than you and all the stuff that you had a chance to
see. I have story after story after story about them blowing information or ignoring it until I made a racket nationally, and then I end up, you know, getting attacked by the federal government.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I did testify about this in front of Congress 2 weeks after 9/11, because this is, and it's been going on ever since.
There you go. That's your Commissioners Baltimore. Got plenty that we're going to get into today. Some more Ravens talk. Shovels coming up at 8:45. Our NFL picks for the weekend. Coming up next, though, we're going to talk about Lamar and Josh Allen. It happened way back when, I'm trying to remember the last year that it happened. Was it Peyton Manning and Steve McNair were co-MVPs. Would you have an issue if the NFL made them co-MVPs? We discuss that next, that being Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson right here on The Fan. All right, talking some football here. Jeremy Kahn, Ed Norris. Rob Long's off today. I'm out tomorrow. We're going to break down this situation that we have here because I've seen a lot of people go, well, if it's a really hard decision to make, why not just make them co-MVPs? And again, I don't have an issue with co-MVPs when it's warranted, if the vote is what it breaks down to. But I'm not all about making guys co-MVPs just so people stop arguing. It's kind of ridiculous in that sense. You know, when we look at the history of the MVP here, I know for a fact we're going back to a couple different years where Peyton Manning and Steve McNair split it the 1 year back in, what was it, like 2003 maybe? I don't know if I'm getting the years right, but yeah, I don't have an issue with guys being, you know, co-MVPs. We've seen co-rookie of the years in the NBA, all kinds of things that are somewhat strange. You know, Adrian Peterson, there was 1 year where Adrian Peterson came off the injury and ran for 2,000 yards, and Peyton Manning had a huge year, and everybody was like, okay, are you going to give it to him, or are you going to give it to Adrian Peterson? And they did. That's kind of like, I think that's the last year we gave it to a running back because he was coming off of an ACL injury 8 months out and ran for 2,000 yards, which is just insane. Yeah, so 2003 was Peyton Manning, Steve McNair year, where those two were co-MVPs. It almost makes me feel like when refs, there's an altercation on the field and you see him throw a flag and then they make the announcement and it's like, we have offsetting penalties. Why? If some guy slapped the other guy, he should have the right to retaliate. I'm sorry. Like, that's, it's cause and effect. And the same thing here. Like, if the voting comes down and it's split, then call them co-MVPs. But don't force that just because, you know, Lamar's having the greatest year we've seen. And Josh Allen has just been otherworldly in what he's done this year. Both of them are so deserving. You can call me biased. But I think when all's said and done, this should come down solely to Lamar's just having a better year. But people want to continuously go back to, look at the talent he has around him, to which I would say, why are we still talking about it if you're going to make that a prerequisite? So no matter how good Lamar is, there's no chance that you can come back and give him the award because, oh, you got to give it to Josh Allen because he doesn't have as much talent around him, which I just think is so silly. But with all that being said, I want to hear from you at 410-583-1057. Again, the last year this has happened is 2003. Peyton Manning, Steve McNair. I brought it up. They talked about it the year that Adrian Peterson won for 2,000 yards back in 2013. There almost was a co-MVP.
That's the last time a running back won?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. I don't know that you're going to see a running back ever win this award again. He is going to have to do something otherworldly. Like, we just...
like break the single-season rushing record?
I think it has to be more than that. I think you'd have to break the single-season rushing record and touchdown record in the same season now. Yeah. And this is what you're... Or... Everything has to work out where the quarterbacks all have mediocre years and there's the one standout. But when are we going to see that? There's too much talent in this league and it all favors the offense. Would you have an issue if Josh Allen and Lamar were co-MVPs?
No. I don't care because that'd be Lamar's third.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't say co-MVP. You're MVP.
Yeah. When they list Peyton Manning, they don't bring up co-MVP.
Right. Back you're an MVP that year. So if he gets another one, he deserves it, man. He really does.
And you love Josh Allen.
I do. I have nothing against Josh Allen. I think he's fantastic. He's a great quarterback. And I love his story coming out of Wyoming. Like, I didn't even know who that really was. And for him to be such an incredible player, tough, great teammate, rifle for an arm, playing, you know, outdoors in Buffalo, you know, for half of your season.
He played half the season with a broken hand? Fractured hand? Mm-hmm. His non-throwing hand.
Doesn't matter.
But I'm just saying, like, that's... You see, Tom Brady was talking about Kyle Van Noy playing with the broken orbital bone.
Yeah.
But yeah, you look at some of these guys, and we understand the toughness and what they go through. As I'm scrolling through all the old MVPs, there's so many running backs that won MVP. Man, they were so important and so valuable back in the day. What happened? When I listen to guys like Emmanuel Acho go, yeah, this award's for the most valuable, the most outstanding. No, it's not. We all know what this has become. The MVP goes to the best quarterback in the league, and most outstanding player goes to the best offensive player in the league that's not an MVP, unless there were two unbelievable MVPs, and he'll get the other one. Yeah. So, you know, to me, it's...
And I truly, I have no problem. I think Allen's had an incredible year.
Bills are a great team, but Lamar's having a he's having a better year than either year where he won an MVP award. How could you ignore this?
And
39 touchdowns, four picks so far, quarterback, he passed the 68% completion percentage, quarterback rating 120-something.
But
he got
Derrick Henry, and that's why he became a better passer.
Yeah.
Ironically, though, he's a better passer when Derrick Henry's not on the field. But okay, you move the goalposts as many times as you want, yeah, and however many times you can. I was explaining how I thought this was like when a referee throws a flag because of personal foul or unsportsmanlike conduct. And then you see a little skirmish, and all of a sudden he comes out and he tells everybody, oh, the penalties are offsetting. Why? Who started it? What happened?
Yeah.
If someone started it, give them the penalty. I'm sorry. Not the guy that retaliated because some jackass poked him in the eye or shoved him when he was on the ground.
It just happened, and it's weekend.
Yeah. I mean, it's a constant, oh, these two guys, they get offsetting penalties because...
That's one of... Yeah. Again, that is one of my pet peeves in the sport. Is the whole, offsetting penalties when I think it's nonsense. I think they just do it because they don't want to, I don't know, upset the balance of the game. But they do this often where it's like, what happened in the Lions 49ers game? I can't remember the receiver. It was Jennings.
Well, Juwan Jennings get into it with a defensive back.
Yeah, he pushed them over he basically just he just kept pushing and pushing and pushing. He just told it, and then can't remember who came up and retaliated and went after him. They both got flagged. No! He's defending his teammate.
If someone cheap shotted my quarterback,
yeah,
I would want one of my offensive linemen to go put that guy on his ass.
Yeah.
I'd want, like we've talked to the
Ryan Jensen.
I was just going to say, the center for Ryan Jensen, if you put your hands on a quarterback or even another player on the team, and it's a late hit or it's something dirty, he's going to go give you the business. Yep. And I don't know why that guy gets penalized. And there are people that brought up, should fighting be allowed in sports to police it? I don't think we need to go that far. I mean, you've seen it in hockey your whole life, and you probably have a bigger appreciation for it than I do. But I don't know that you need that. Just have referees that have a set of cojones and can make a call and say, this is the guy that started it. All these other things happen because you were a jackass. Not, oh, that guy was defending himself, so I got to give him a penalty too. The hell is that?
Right.
I mean, in life, like it's all. So somebody comes up to you and slaps you in the face on the street. You're just supposed to go, can someone get me an authority figure so I can tell him this? No, man. Someone slaps you. Like, I'm going to go after that guy.
Mm-hmm.
There's a cause and effect in life for everything. So this is kind of silly. But the thing I keep going back to is if it is co-MVP, it better be a fair vote down the line and not something that the league's orchestrating because we've been talking about this a ton. And everyone in Baltimore feels like it should be. Nobody's changing their mind at this point. And it doesn't matter. Lamar could come out and throw 10 touchdowns in this game. And according to what people have said, he has better weapons so he can't win it. Because his statistics are already better across the board.
Yes.
So what are we talking about here? Anyway, more MVP talk. It's always fun. All right, we're going to get
Burrow's in the conversation. Who's got better weapons than him?
Yeah. Well, that's what's funny to me now is that people are going, you guys got to look at what Burrow's doing because he's got to be in the conversation. And I'm going, he has more weapons than anyone. He's
anyone.
Got two number one receivers, and his defense sucks. So what does he have to do? Come out and throw it every effing time.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
He may have the best receiver in the game.
This is the problem I have when people make these arguments because when you bring the other part of it, it's like, oh, well, I don't think he should win that. It has to be level across the board. You don't get to move the goalpost for Lamar saying he's got a better running back, and that's what put him over the top this year.
Mm-hmm.
James Cook is no slouch, by the way. you look at Cincinnati. Look at what Chase Brown has 1,000 yards since they named him the starter in like week 9. I mean, he's been so good. I mean, look, he had some yards earlier in the year, but added up to over 1,000 after just being a starter for what, 7 weeks, 6 weeks?
Yeah. And Lamar's broken the quarterback rushing record. Let's not forget that.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't matter. None of it matters anymore. All right. Shovels are coming up at 8:45. Up next, we talk to Kevin Ostreicher. We get his thoughts on the matchup with the Browns, the MVP race, all that and more right here on The Fan. All right. Welcome in our first guest of the show. Going to talk some Ravens here. We have him on quite often. We appreciate when he stops by. Kevin Ostreicher, of course, with Locked On Ravens podcast. Kevin, how are you, man?
I'm doing well. Happy New Year, guys. It's hopefully a turn of the page for the Ravens here where they can pick up a big win against the Browns in Week 18. And then, obviously, the playoff run begins, which hopefully will be a long one.
Who would you rather face, Chargers or Steelers? Because it looks like one of those teams is coming to Baltimore as long as the Ravens, you know, hold serve.
Yeah, I would feel pretty confident if I'm Baltimore in both, but I think just the uncertainty of divisional games and playing a team three times in one season, I think I'd rather go with the Chargers for the Ravens. And part of that also is we do know that over the course of the season, the Ravens have sometimes, especially up front on the offensive line, struggled with more physical defensive fronts. And that's teams like Kansas City, Pittsburgh, Philly, for example. And I just feel like the Chargers, like we saw when they played a couple months ago at this point now, I don't think they have the defensive personnel to keep up with the Ravens. Now, Pittsburgh seems like the Chargers and the Steelers are going in two opposite directions, where the Chargers are playing really well, Justin Herbert on fire right now. Whereas in Pittsburgh, it just feels like there's a lot of drama, Patrick Queen, Cam Hayward, George Pickens, and it just feels like they're taking a step backwards while the Chargers are really finding their stride. But I think that just AFC North game, the whole we know them, they know us type of situation, I feel like the Chargers is the game that I would prefer if I were the Ravens.
Yeah, but what about the improvement in the defense? The beginning of the year, they looked awful, and I thought there was no way they were going to, you know, compete for the division title the way the defense looked. All of a sudden now, they're really good. Is it people pointing to Dean Pease? I don't buy that, frankly. I do buy the Ardarius Washington, you know, experiment that worked out to be, you know, the formula they needed. Do you have any hypothesis on why they've improved so much?
I'm with you, where I think Ardarius Washington has been a really big key in that, and they had to make some tough decisions where I think for a lot of teams, you know, you pay a guy $70 million on Marcus Williams, and most teams would just probably be like, well, we paid the guy. Might as well play him until we can get out of the contract, which the Ravens can after this season. But the Ravens made a tough decision to say, hey, it's not working. He's not playing well. And there's a guy who's not playing who can make an impact in Ardarius Washington. They make the switch. And that's been one of the keys. For example, another thing, Eddie Jackson was playing terrible for the Ravens, and he ends up getting released after the whole thing where he didn't come to travel to Pittsburgh and was out for that game due to personal reasons. He's no longer on the team. And then you have a guy like Trent Simpson, who I think a lot of people had high expectations for in year two, didn't really work out that way. And the Ravens said, okay, Malik Harrison, Chris Board, those guys stepping up. And it's just been, I think last year, the whole conversation around the defense, because it was so historic, was players stepping up. Because the Ravens, while there weren't necessarily a ton of season-ending injuries last season, there were guys, you know, Marlon Humphrey had an injury-plagued season. They had to deal with a couple of other guys coming in and out of the lineup. It was about the depth stepping up and taking the place of a lot of these players and the defense not really missing a beat. The defense was struggling this season, and I think a lot of people were saying they have the run offense, they have the pass offense, they have the run defense. It's just going to be a matter of can they get that pass defense going, and they certainly have. It's been an incredible turnaround.
Kevin Allstreger joining us here, of course, with Locked On Ravens Pod. You can give him a follow on Twitter. You can follow all the different things at K Allstreger 34. You know what? I'm not even going to try to spell that out. People can just search it, Kevin. I'm sure you've been dealing with that your whole life. But let me ask you about MVP real quick, because it's a two-part question. Who do you think wins it, and who should win it?
I think Josh Allen wins it. I believe Lamar Jackson should win it. And look, this is no shade to Josh Allen. Both players are having incredible seasons. I mean, both players are incredible players, if you want to keep talking about that. But I just feel like, to me, a lot of the conversation around the MVP, obviously the criteria feels like it shifts and changes every single year. It feels like a lot of people are talking about a couple of different narratives, and those are what are being pushed right now, one of which is the fact that the Bills were supposed to have a rebuild-esque season after losing Stephon Diggs, losing a lot of defensive talent. Obviously, Josh Allen and that Buffalo team has exceeded expectations by a long shot. Lamar Jackson also seems to be being punished by having Derrick Henry on his team. And a lot of people are saying, oh, well, what Derrick Henry is the reason that Lamar is having this season, and what would it be without Derrick Henry? And I'm like, well, without Derrick Henry, Lamar won two MVPs. So I don't really get the argument there. Yeah.
But again, he leads in most statistical categories, only rushing touchdowns, is what he does not lead in. But I just think that the conversation is, oh, well, the Bills have two more wins, and they're the two seed. I just don't think the difference between the two and the three seed and then two losses is enough to kind of overlook everything else, including strength of schedule. Lamar's beaten every playoff team but one this season in the AFC in Kansas City.
And Josh is what, 500 against playoff teams?
A lot more going in Lamar's favor.
Hey, I think Josh is 500 against playoff teams this year. His three losses, or whatever, all those losses have come from playoff teams.
Yeah.
Right.
This is off Ravens top for a second, but it's in general question. The Eagles are going to sit Saquon, and he has a chance, obviously, to break the single season rushing record. Where do you stand on things like that? Like, say, it could have been anybody here. It could have been Derrick Henry. Yeah. It could have been Derrick Henry, the way he was going this year. How do you feel about sitting somebody when there's a record on the line as you head to the playoffs?
Yeah, I understand why. I mean, it seems like Saquon wants to try to go for it, which kind of muddies things and murkies the waters for me a little bit, because you know, if the guy wants it, you want to trust your guys. But I also remember what happened last year in Philadelphia, where they lost A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts got injured late in the season, and it kind of derailed. I mean, they were already kind of sinking anyway, but it kind of derailed what run they wanted to have. And I know that for Saquon, he hasn't necessarily been the most durable player. He's been good. He's been incredible this year. But It's different to me if the player wants to go for it. It's just a matter of trust in your guy, and I feel like you should trust your guys, especially when there's a record like this on the line that you rarely ever get to see a guy go for. So I feel like the Eagles should trust them, but I understand why they're going to rest their guys, because they have a chance to win a Super Bowl, and if they lose Saquon, I mean, talk about guys making impacts. That team is not the same whatsoever without Saquon on the field. So it's a tough decision all the way around. I think Saquon probably understands it, but man, it's tough to have that record right there and have a game left and not be able to go for it.
Great stuff, KO. Kevin Ostreicher. Kevin, where can people find you?
Hey, you can find me over at Locked On Ravens. We 5 day a week Ravens podcast over there. So YouTube and video form, and anywhere you get your podcast and audio form, we bring you that 5 day a week Ravens coverage. I also write over at the Ravens Wire. I do some work over at Bleacher Report, and I also do some work with the Ryan Ripken Show. So a lot of Baltimore sports
busy
for me.
Yeah, good stuff, man. Hey, thanks as always. Look forward to getting you back on once we get closer to playoffs.
Absolutely, guys. Happy New Year.
Thanks. Same to you.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
If you bet on Lamar to win the MVP in a futures bet and is a co-MVP, do you win?
You win.
You do.
I think that's one of the reasons why you won't see a co-MVP, because both get paid out.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
So, that's terrible if that's the case.
Yeah, because there's no other way to slice it. You won, So I guess it's like having points in points in an overtime game and it ends in a tie. You got to feel really good about yourself. You win either way. That's why I always say you have 3.5 points going to overtime. Only one way you can lose. And I've done it 4 times this year. Speaking of that, we're going to do our NFL picks next. We got shovels coming up at 9 o'clock, but with the NFL picks, I'm out tomorrow. We'll go through this week's slate of games. We'll get to some phone calls. Cat, hang on. 105.7 The Fan, 410-583-1057. All right, I'll step out to the phone lines after we pick some games here, 410-583-1057. Let's start it off on Saturday. I'm not going to do the goofy thing and give you the Ravens game at the end. They're favored by 18 points. I know who you're picking, so just tell me Baltimore real quick.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure. I think we're all on the same page here. No. I can't imagine anybody picking Cleveland. How about Cincinnati and Pittsburgh, the nightcap on Saturday? Who you got?
Oh, my God. I don't know. I'm going to go with Cincy. There's an outside chance, right, that they can make the playoffs.
They need Denver to lose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Miami, too, right?
Do they need Miami to lose, too? Because I think Miami loses this weekend, but we'll get to that in a few. I'm all over Pittsburgh. Probably my favorite play this weekend, along with there's a few others that are in that mix as I'm looking at it. Like the Jets, I can't do that. We'll get to that in a second. Minnesota's interesting to me, but I'll talk about it as the games come. But this is one where they're going to run the football. In my mind, there's no way, and I know, like, easier said than done, Mike Tomlin does not want to go into the playoffs on a 4-game losing streak. He also doesn't want to go in the playoffs on a four-game losing streak headed to Baltimore.
Right.
If they win, they're going to Houston. And I think they're winning this game. Yeah. And what everybody says about Cincinnati, yes, the offense has been clicking. Their defense is
terrible.
God awful.
Yeah. But I'm just looking at it. The Broncos are 9-7. Dolphins 8-8. Bengals 8-8. So if the Broncos and Dolphins lose, they're 9-8. Dolphins are 8-9. And if the Bengals be 9-8, and I think they win that spot.
Did they beat the Broncos this year, I think? Yeah, they just recently did.
They take that spot.
Yeah. What a big game that was that kind of. Nobody was really talking about all that much. All right, let's go on to Sunday's games. Atlanta hosts Carolina.
The Buccaneers have not clinched that division. The Falcons have beaten them twice this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go with the Falcons because they have something to play for.
Okay. I like Atlanta to win as well. Good spot for them against Carolina. Washington at Dallas. Now, Ed and I were going through this whole thing of who has something to play for. There are some teams. There were probably about five games where we're like, all right, I need to check to see what their schedule is, who's quarterbacking. I'm on Washington. How about you, Ed?
I am too. Better team. I know they're in Dallas. But Washington, the Eagles have that division. Redskins, whatever.
Commanders.
Playoff team, but they're not going to win the division. Still something to play for. I think they're much better than Dallas.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Green Bay and Chicago. Green Bay a 10-point favorite. Keep it moving.
Yeah, I think so. I'm going Green Bay.
Green Bay. Another game that was really interesting. Houston is a 1-point favorite on the road at Tennessee. Houston has nothing to play for. I'm not sure Tennessee wants to win, but I think those jokers come out and play well. I got Tennessee winning here.
I'm going Houston. I just can't get it. I haven't had a handle on Tennessee all season. I don't know who the hell they are. I'm just going to go with Houston.
Indianapolis hosting Jacksonville. Who you got?
Another one. Yeah, I'm going to go with Indy.
I'm going with Indy as well. Jacksonville surprisingly won a few games that they had no business winning. But
yeah,
how about this one? This is a really intriguing one.
I know.
Buffalo at New England. New England currently has the number one pick in the draft. Buffalo is a 2.5-point favorite on the road. There's no way that New England loses this game, right, Ed?
Buffalo, you mean?
Yeah, Buffalo. No, yeah. I should say, there's no way New England tries to win this game, is there?
That's what I would say. I'm going with Buffalo here.
Like, you got a coach that everybody's been questioning.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be Lovie Smith. Don't do it, Mayo.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Don't go out there and win a game on purpose just to cost you your job because you had the number one overall pick.
Yeah.
I'm going with Buffalo there.
Me too.
Philadelphia and the Giants, kind of the same thing for me. I'm taking Philly.
It's just the Giants are just a dumpster fire. I know they just won, but I'm going Philly.
All right. New Orleans at Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay needs the game. I'm going with the Buccaneers. They're very hot, and Baker Mayfield's playing great.
I'm with the Bucks. Denver is hosting Kansas City. I'm with Denver. They're double-digit favorites. They're going to be going to the
Unbelievable,
playoffs.
Unbelievable, isn't it? Yeah. I'm going with Denver as well. Mahomes is not playing, for people who don't know.
Okay. How about the Chargers and Vegas? Another kind of interesting one. I don't know how much the Chargers have to play for, right?
They didn't win the division, but I'm still going with the Chargers. I think they're good. I'm only because they're good lately. You know, as the Steelers are not good lately, the Chargers are very good lately. I'm going to go with the Chargers.
I am too. They're 5-point favorites, so I'll go with the Chargers. I'm taking Seattle at the Rams. Seattle's a 6.5-point favorite. Jimmy Garoppolo will start for the Rams.
I have nothing against Jimmy Garoppolo. But the Rams have the division already. I'm going to go with Seattle.
He's got that beautiful butt chin where you can blow your nose and wipe your ass at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. He's an NFL quarterback, and he looks like that.
Travolta.
Yeah.
Up your nose with a rubber hose. All right, we did Seattle and the Rams. You got Seattle, right?
Yes, I do.
Another interesting one, Miami at the Jets. As a Jets fan, Ed, can you pick them to win?
It's so hard.
They're 1.5-point underdogs.
Are they really?
Yes.
I mean, the Dolphins have something to play for.
The same way I told you the Ohio State line stunk to high heaven, I think this one does too.
I think this stinks too. I mean, the Jets are terrible. The Dolphins could actually make the playoffs. Outside chance, but they can. I have no idea.
Give me the Jets. You taking the Jets?
Yes.
Aaron Rodgers. He's going to throw his 500 touchdown to Devontae Adams this weekend. Book it. All right, Arizona hosts San Francisco, and San Francisco has Josh Dobbs starting right now.
Yes, I'm going with the Cardinals.
I'm with the Cardinals as well. Best game of the week. Who's going to be the number one seed in the NFC, Detroit or Minnesota, Ed?
I'm going to go with Detroit very reluctantly, only because I've been on the Lions for like two and a half years now. Like, I've been picking them. I think they're a very good team. They're so beat up defensively, though. They got so many injuries on the defense.
Every game they play, they give up like 30 or 40 points now.
It's really tough to for me to pick them here, but I'm going to go with the Lions.
I'm all over Minnesota this weekend. I think they're going to be the number one seed in the NFC.
Actually, so.
And the damn Lions are going to have to go on the road after dominating a conference.
Yeah.
And Minnesota was too, but we weren't talking about them because we didn't really believe it. Let's go out to the phone lines. Let's grab Kat. Knowings Mills wants to talk about the MVP race. Kat, how are you?
What's going on, Commish? What's going on, Jeremy? How you guys feeling, man?
Good.
Thank you for having us on, man. I just want to put this narrative out there, man, that I don't hear out there. I wonder if you, Jeremy, or Commish can kind of get this out there. Can you guys go over the last 20 MVPs, I guess 20, 25 MVPs, and see how many of those MVPs had great running backs? I know that Steve McNair won the MVP with Eddie George. I know that...
I got it right in front of me. So with Pat Mahomes last year, you look at Isaiah Pacheco. I don't know if he's a great running back, but he was really good last year. Aaron Rodgers had Aaron Jones with him for a couple of years there. Lamar Jackson, we go back to when he won, and we know what the backfields were like. Going back to Pat Mahomes in 2018, another mixture of backs, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Tom Brady always had decent backs, but their short passing game is what they use for the running game. Who was Matt Ryan's running back when they were in the Super Bowl? I don't know why I'm blanking on that. Yeah.
Damn.
I thought they had a good running back there. Was it Foreman or Freeman? It was Freeman, right? I think Foreman was in Houston or Tennessee, excuse me. Cam Newton, Devontae Freeman. Okay, he was their lead back. Cam Newton in 2015. I don't remember who was running for the Panthers back then. Going back to Aaron Rodgers again, Peyton Manning. Manning always had decent backs. And if they weren't, he made them decent backs. Like, I know that sounds kind of ridiculous, but it's the dumbest thing ever. Actually, and you go back, Sean Alexander won in 2005, LaDainian Tomlinson in 06. And of course we brought up Adrian Peterson in 2012, which hard to deny that. I don't think a running back ever wins this award again.
Specifically, what he's saying is like good quarterbacks never have great running backs when they win. If Lamar wins MVP here, Derrick Henry would have 300 more yards than the next closest running back for the quarterback that's won MVP. So the running back on a team, the quarterback won MVP, the most I've ever had is like 1,530 yards in a season.
That's still a great season. I think we're nitpicking way too much here. When you look at it, it's obvious. And you have these idiots that keep going, it's value. How do you judge value? Tell me how you're judging value. You're just looking at his teammates and saying they're not as good as someone else's?
I get the reason people do this. It's a fun exercise to do. I don't know how valid it is, but it's a fun exercise to take part in.
Yep. Well, we got shovels. We're going to get to some more phone calls, 410-583-1057. Rashawn, he's going to get a shovel for this ridiculous question he's going to ask. We'll do that later in the next hour. Ed, who's going to get your shovel? You got so many things to pick from. But it's one of those days where, like, there's a lot of negative things happening right now to try to find something that's fun. Yeah. I mean, we were talking earlier, and I mentioned the fact that the Bulls and the Hornets missed 75 threes combined twice this year and broke the record.
It's such a target-rich environment today. It's kind of fun. However, I'm going to go with Bashar, the former Syrian president, Assad.
Oh.
Who goes to Russia to be protected?
That guy has the weirdest body I've ever seen. He looks like an effing turnip. I don't even know what
that is. His face, too. He's just a weird-looking guy. He did horrible things, though. What a terrible person.
You ever lifted anything? Like a gallon of milk? A weight? Something? There's, like, no muscle definition on that cat's... Like, none. It's like he was kept in a cocoon his whole life.
Yeah, that's why he tortures people, because he looks like that.
God. Anyway.
Yeah, but I can tell you what happened to him.
We'll get in the shovels. That's coming up next here on The Fan.